right now. I declare, Lord God, our hearts are open, our minds are open. We can just understand. We can just grab a hold of what's taking place right now, Lord. What you've done for us. Lord, and I just pray it right now that no devil in hell is going to steal the joy and the peace and the glory of, Lord, what you've done for us. Nothing, 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 nothing. Every lie of the enemy destroyed right now in Jesus' name. I declare walls broken down, barriers broken down. I declare chains falling off. I just declare that we're free to walk in the revelation, Lord, of what you've done for us. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now look at that person beside you, around you, and tell them, man, 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 oh, the precious blood. That song come from? Tell me you wrote it. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. You're going to have to come back up and play that here in a minute. Okay? Because I'm changing what I'm going to do. You know, every now and then, it's not every now and then, it happens a lot more, but sometimes it's just pointed. I'll have several thoughts going through my mind about what the Lord wants to do, you know, tonight. Why don't you guys come over here? I'm sorry, but I'm my feet are tired and I don't want to walk a whole bunch. How about that? It's good enough. Excuse, isn't it? Yeah. And the Lord will start speaking things to me and saying things to me, and then, you know, I'll kind of get an idea, kind of get a thought of where we're going in the service and whatever. But then it just blows my mind that when, like, I've never heard that song my wife just sang. And I asked her, I said, did you write it? Please tell me you wrote it. And she said, no. But I don't, you know, like, I've never heard that song. And so I was just some things just kind of picking up this afternoon when I was praying, and just kind of just, you know, anyway, long story short. And I can't believe what I'm about to tell you, because based upon what the song that just sang and what I feel like Jesus wants to do for us tonight, because I really believe he wants to really pop open our revelation. You know, I want to forget to tell you this, and so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Y'all pray for me extra Friday and Saturday, because I'm going to Bethany, and I'm going to go down there and I'll preach a men's meeting for them Friday night and then Saturday morning. So I'm just going to drive down Friday and then go to the meeting and pray for the guys and minister to them. And this is what I was thinking about preaching. I was kind of, that's why I wasn't thinking about service, and I already had a message, really good one. It's right here. And then this came up, but I got to talk about this, okay? So I'm just going to talk about this, and then we're going to let Laura play again in a minute, and unless grandbaby takes over, then we'll do something different. Righteousness. What do you think about when I say righteousness? I mean, we sing it. You know, we're so Christianized. You know, we go to church and we sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. We talk about the blood. We do all this, but we just like get robotically Christianized, and we just hear these things and say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's right. I'm righteous by the blood. But do we really understand what he's talking about? Do we really understand what it means to be righteous in front of Almighty God? And I just throw out tonight that we really don't. We really don't have an understanding. We really don't have a revelation. We really don't walk in it. Because if we did, then we would be different. Okay? Myself. I'm preaching not to the choir. I'm preaching to me too. Myself. The things that I think, the things that trouble me or worry me or I fret about or whatever, our life would be different if we really understood, if we really, really truly had a revelation of our position with God. Okay? And we get a glimpse and we get a little, you know, now and then we catch hold of something, and then, you know, then things don't go like we want them to go, and then things get hard, or things, you know, and then we think, oh, what's going on and whatever. And so anyway, I was looking up the word righteousness, and it's funny because in the Webster's Dictionary, It says something. Something that I can't see. Now I'm healed. It says, acting in accord with divine or moral law. Well, I mean, that could all be by works, right? Then the next part of it says, free from guilt or sin. Now this is Webster's, okay? It says, free from guilt or sin. So, God bless Mr. Webster, trying to explain the English language, but the Bible wasn't written in English. Right? It's translated to English. If you really want to know what a word means, you have to go back to the Aramaic or the Greek or the Hebrew to find out what really did he say. Like, if you know Spanish, like, you can say things in Spanish that when you translate them, they don't translate exactly with the same meaning. It's there, but it's not the same gusto one way or the other. Some things you can say better in Spanish than you can say in English. Right? I mean, if you know what I'm saying? If you know Spanish or study Spanish this way, you can say some things in Spanish that, has a strong meaning to it if you understand Spanish. And you say the same thing written the same way in English and you translate from Spanish to English, you say it, and you're kind of like, what? That's why always when I'm doing word studies, I always go through, I have different translations. I look at it and I always look at it and read it in the Spanish. Because sometimes it says some things that just really make you. Anywho, y'all I only was thinking about that. I don't have all my notes down, so I'm not really. Y'all just bear with me here, okay? Thank God for computers. Okay. So you go look at the word righteousness in Greek. And this is what it means. Equity. Equity. Now, equity, the only time I've ever even used the word equity in anything is if somebody said, well, how much equity do you have in your house? Right? I would never stand up and say, oh, I feel like I'm, what would be the word? I'm equitious. I feel like I'm full of equity today. I had a really good prayer time with the Lord, and I feel like I'm very full of equity. Right? We would never say that. And then it says justification or righteousness. But the root of the word means equity. Now think about this. Okay, let's use house for an example. If you have a house that's worth $200,000 and you've paid on it for years and you've paid $100,000, you paid the note down $100,000, then that you have $100,000 worth of equity in the home, right? That's what it means, right? In other words, if you sold the house for $200,000, they keep 100 and you get the 100, right? That's what you own in the house. That's what's yours. You can't really cut it in half with a chainsaw, but you follow what I'm saying. That's your portion. You've paid for it. It's rightfully yours. You bought it. You paid for it. That's your equity. Let's just forget about saying that there's, a difference. What if somebody said to you, y'all correct me if I'm wrong here, if you owned it outright, would you still use the word equity in it? In our English language, would you still say, well, I have equity in the house? Or would you say, I own it? I'm talking formal English speech here. Y'all come in and help me now. Would you say, I'd say, I own that thing outright. I paid sweat my brow, bless God, I own that thing. I wouldn't really use the word equity, but would that be a proper word to use to say, You own it. They say, well, how much do you have in the equity in the house? Oh, I own it. I've got, 100% equity. Would that be the proper way to say it? 100% equity? Would that make sense? Y'all all go along with this? But you got 100% equity in it? Oh, Jesus, you're so good. Okay, what does the Bible tell us? What does it say, Frankie, that you've been bought with a what? A price, right? In other words, there was a value on your head. You've been bought with a price. There was a price on your head. You say you've never been wanted. You have been. God wanted you, but there was a price on your head. Right? There was a price on your head. There was a debt that you could not pay. There was no way you could ever stand before Almighty God. Are y'all hearing me? Hear what I'm saying? You could never stand there. There's no way you could stand there. There's no way you could be righteous. Oh, you couldn't have 100% equity. You couldn't have any equity because you couldn't pay for yourself. Think of this. Think of this, how many terms God used about money and what he's trying to say to us. You've been bought with a price. There was a price on your head. You were wanted. God found you. He paid the price for us, and the price was the blood of Jesus over your sins. The debt you owed God, you couldn't pay. Jesus comes in, he sheds his blood, pays for it on the cross. When you accepted Christ into your life, you took his blood upon your debt. And he, that blood was the note. That blood was the value. That blood was like the exchange of money that you owed. It was that blood of Jesus. Went in there, paid for you. Hear me now. Paid it full. You have 100% equity. Oh, but wait a minute. It says your life has been bought a price and your life's not your own. You had to do something to get your note paid. You had to give your life to Christ. When you gave yourself to him, said, I believe in you, you're the Son of God, and I give my life to you, boom, 100% paid in full. God has 100, listen to me, he has 100% equity in you. That's what righteousness means. There's nothing between you and God. There is no debt owed between you and him. There's nothing else that needs to be paid. Oh, does that mean we just go out and act like a fool? No. But that means that you're not trying to, in a position where you're trying to pay. Do you know, my wife and I, we built our house. We built it. There some of y'all that worked and helped us in there. We built it like the old Johnny Cash song, one piece at a time. I mean, literally, we would dig one hole, put up one board, stain one piece, work, maybe group get together and help us, and we'd go a little bit farther and we'd do it. But I'm talking about we did it one piece at a time to finish our house and build our house, okay? And we had a note. And then we worked to pay it off. And we paid and we worked and we paid and we worked. And this came about and we stuck it on there and we did without and we put it over there until the glorious day came that we paid off what we owed. It was a good feeling to say, I owned it. Y'all with me? Came with a sacrifice to say, wow, I own my house. And somebody comes up to me today and says, hey, wait a minute. I mean, we all got to pay taxes. But, I mean, other than that, I know I own my house. Ain't nobody going to come up there and take my house. I own my house. Y'all with me? No bank note. Nobody coming up and sending nothing to me. No notices. No thinking about the consciousness of, did I pay the mortgage this month? You know, did that go through? Or did I have enough money in the account to cover it if it was an automatic withdrawal? None of that stuff. None of the, you know, I mean, have y'all, I'm sure you godly people have never done that, but have you ever just been in a place all of a sudden it dawned on you, oh my God, I forgot to pay the bill. And you just had that moment of, why do you have that moment? Because you know you owed it. Are y'all with me? Now all of a sudden, God says, wait a minute, it's 100% paid for. So I have 100% equity in you. You don't owe me anything. We should be grateful, overjoyed. We should be everything except worried about our relationship with Him. We should be able to not, you know, not feel embarrassed or not feel ashamed. That's what I'm looking for, not embarrassed. Ashamed to go talk to God because, oh God, what about that? No, wait a minute. He paid you in full. Now, you know, my house, I still have to do work to it. I still have to do fix up. There's always maintenance that has to be keep the thing going, right? It wasn't just like you finished it and you said, it's over with. No. Then the blasted sun cooks everything down, and you all know what I mean. Got to replace a rotten board or this or that or the other. Things happen. But when God's, as long as we feel that there's anything between us and Him, any guilt or shame, anything that's between us and Him, we've not really accepted the blood of Jesus in our life. We've not really had that poured over our life and cleansed us and set us free. Then we're not going to go pray to Him. We're not going to talk to Him. We're not going to want to be around Him. We're not going to want to come into His presence and be around there because we're going to feel like, ooh, I owe Him something. It's not like going down the grocery store and say, oh God, that bill I forgot to pay, that's the guy that owns it. Oh, I better go down the other aisle. There's no debt owed. So then you're able to walk right up to the throne of God and say, hey Daddy, how's everything going today? Got everything covered in heaven? I'll use a little help over here. This morning, my morning started off pretty rough in my mind. You know, anybody else who looked at it, you know, but it was pretty rough in my mind. You know, there's a lot, like about six things that were out there that needed to get taken care of and no way for me to actually take care of it. And it was just one of those things. And, you know, this one's mad and that one's this and that one's whatever. And this one's out of sorts and this and that and the other. And so I just bowed my head and said, Lord, it's too overwhelming for me to even go over with you. You know, I'm not even going to sit here and pray about it. Can you just take care of this for me? I mean, this is just, if I go over it through the rehearsal again of praying for it, then I'm just going to be looking at it. I can't do anything with it anyway. So can you take care of it? And as I went through the day, one by one, the phone rang, this happened, that happened, this changed, that over there, whoop, 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 whoop. The last thing before I walked in the church just a minute ago, got straight. And that was literally my prayer this morning. I don't want to rehearse this with you and go through there. See, folks, there's a difference in the change. I used to pray because I was taught Christianized prayers that I had to go over it, you know, line by line, word by word, this, just get it down to, you know what I'm saying? You had to say this in the name of Jesus so many times over that one, and you know, and you know, y'all with me?
Right.
Into this Christianized prayer that I had to get everything just down, just right when as I prayed to God, otherwise it wasn't going to get in there. You know, that's like when you vote. Have you noticed you vote in the new electronic machines or everything? They tell you to fill it out. You got to fill it out a certain way, and then you have to turn the piece of paper the right way, or if it goes in, your vote doesn't count, right? It's not going to, you know. It's not like that in heaven. You don't, like, if you didn't say it right, that you didn't get it in the right way, then it didn't count. So you have to redo it because God didn't hear that when He didn't accept that. We reject it because you didn't paper turn the right way. I had to fill out a survey the other day that I didn't want to fill out, but they told me if I didn't fill it out that I wasn't going to be in trouble. And so I filled it out exactly the wrong way they told me to do, you know. and sent it back to him. Said, I filled it out. Did it my way. Throw it away. Come get me. Arrest me. I don't care. I felt kind of rebellious that day. Point is, when you get into those places like that, see, if your life is like that with prayer, when you pray, but the moment you got through praying, you weren't really sure that it got taken care of, then you're not in the place you need to be with God. Now, that sounds pretty crazy for me, the pastor, to pray like that this morning. Say, Lord, I'm not even going to go over it. It's overwhelming. Just take care of it, please. I didn't say, okay, now, number one, I need you to do, and then number two, in the name of Jesus, you know, I rebuke that one. And then I didn't got nothing. I said, God, can you just fix it? It's a mess. But you know what? I knew he heard me. Y'all with me? Why? Because, I mean, as big of a buffoon as I can be, and as many things that I can do wrong, I know the blood of Jesus has washed my life away and cleansed it. And there's I didn't even know it was the word, but I knew God had 100% equity in me. But I didn't really know it was equity. Y'all follow me? So, now I know where I'm going. So, look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20. And I'll read this, show you the scripture. Jeremiah 20. Okay, so Jeremiah is this prophet in the day. Now just look at this, it's in our life. He's a prophet in the day of Israel. He's the last prophet that was in Jerusalem before the fall of Jerusalem. Okay? Isaiah was still alive at the time, but Jeremiah was an up-and-coming young prophet. He was prophesying, and he prophesies the doom of Jerusalem. He goes and has to prophesy to the king of Israel at that time and say, you're going down. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of, I really wouldn't want that word to go give, right? You're going to go tell the ruler of the day, you're going down, buddy. They're going to come. They're going to haul you off to Babylon in chains. They're going to destroy the city. You're losing everything. You got nothing because you're a heathen. That's what he told him, basically. He said, you ain't righteous. None of the people are righteous. Ain't nobody listening to God. God has sent them. The king's going to come in here. He's going to take all y'all. You're going away forever. So what would any good king do? He locked him up in the dungeon in the stocks. He said, I'll teach you to prophesy like that to me. So chapter 20, verse 9 says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. So he got locked up in the prison. And so, I mean, now he's kind of feeling sorry for himself. Has anybody here ever felt sorry for yourself? Do I have anybody else here that's getting there? I have those times that I feel sorry for myself. You know, I always ask the Lord, why did you give me this body? I mean, my God, I could have done so much more and something more efficient. Why did I get stuck in this one? I mean, this is ridiculous, Lord. You gave that heathen over there one that works, and why do I have one that doesn't? I mean, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, Lord. What were you thinking about on that day? Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. So he's like, just having a pity party. He said, I ain't going to talk anymore. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to read it. And then he says, but. Everybody say, but. His word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. He's like, I don't want to go preaching. I don't want to tell the king. I'm not going to say, nope, I'm not going to say anything anymore. Oh, just getting hit, but I got to go say it. When what you know that is truly truth of the Word of God is in your life like that, it's truly down in you. It's not in your head. It's down in your heart. It's down in your bones. It's down in the life of you. Then when the enemy comes, because, you know, Mark 4 says the devil comes immediately to steal the word that's in your life. Then when it's down in your heart and down in your soul like that, when the trouble comes or the woe comes or the trial comes or the tribulation comes or whatever it is comes against you, you may at first be overwhelmed. You may first be, poof, oh, and then all of a sudden, something's going to kick in inside of you and you're going to say, wait a minute, time out. Ain't no way. It's not going down like that. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the situation is. I know what I know, and I know that the Word of God is true, and I know that God is real, and I know that I'm right with you, and I don't care what the world says and the situation around me. This is the direction I'm going. I'm going to keep going for righteousness. I'm going to keep walking in that, and I'm not going to stop. You see, because it's alive in you. It's real in you. It's down in your bones. It's in you. You can't be talked out of it. Somebody comes up to me and says, Robert, I really don't believe God heals today. And I'd say, well, you know, then what am I going to tell those people that I saw get healed?
Yeah.
You know? Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. God helps those that help themselves, and I don't think God's just going to make things happen. Well, what do I tell the person that needed some money and a miracle happened and they ended up getting some money? What do I tell them about? What do I tell them? Oh, that wasn't really God. That was just a coincidence. You see, if there's things that have happened and things that you know to be true, well, then how in the world can you deny it? Because you know what's true. It's in you. It's in your bones. There's no way of going back. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in the Holy Ghost. I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, then I guess I have a brain abnormality or something. I mean, would y'all want to take me to the doctor? I mean, what do you want to do with me? I don't understand. Are y'all with me? If it's in your bones, if it's down inside of you, and you know it to be real and you know it to be true, then it can't be taken from you. That doesn't mean you can't be set back. Doesn't mean you can't have a Jeremiah moment where you say, okay, that's it, I'm not saying anything else. But it doesn't last long because you got to say something. Well, when you know that you're righteous, you know that you're right before God, you know that the blood of Jesus has covered your life and washed your sins away, and there's nothing between you and Him, He's not mad at you. Then it negates all the garbage and junk that the enemy would send to you and try to get into your head and try to get you into shame and guilt and despair, and so that you didn't have this relationship. We've got to live our Christian lives by this Jeremiah moment of saying, it's down in my bones. I'm sorry. I believe it. I know it to be real. But now the problem is, how do you get there? Because you're not born. You're born with a knowing that there is a God. I believe everybody has that. The Bible says each and every one of us has a measure of faith given us. It's all inside us. Every person is born with the ability to believe. Okay? But how do you cultivate that? Well, there's only two ways. Matthew 16, what is it, 18? Where Jesus tells Peter, 16:17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. The first way you can get is that God has spoken to you. You know He spoke to you. Now, I don't know how many of y'all in here, you dream. I'm a big dreamer. I have dreams all the time. I dream almost every night. Sometimes I dream the most craziest, most outlandish, goofiest dreams you could ever in your life imagine and put together. And if I think about the dream, if I can still remember the next morning and I think about the dream, I'll sit and I'll tell Laura, man, I had this crazy dream. And then we'll start laughing because I'll remember that in our conversation that night, something was said about something that got in my brain. And then something was said about something else. And then somehow or another, through the subconsciousness of my mind, I've dreamed this whole crazy wild scene. And it was not anything from God. It was a pizza dream. So I used to call them when I used to eat pizza. Right? It was a pizza dream. But then there's times in my life, not a whole bunch, but there's times in my life over, you know, 28 years of serving the Lord, that I can tell you that I had a God dream, that there I woke up in the morning and it was a God dream and it was real. And I saw it in full color and I knew it was real. And I, to this day, can tell you exactly what was in the dream, even though I may have had it 10 or 15 years ago. It never left me. It was real to me. It was a part of me. It was something that I could say, wow. One time I had a dream, craziest, just had this dream, And I saw these trees, and all the tops were cut off the trees. All the tops were cut off. There was just the stump, the root, the stump of this tree. They were all in like a row surrounding a building. And the Lord said that I was going to go there, I was going to be in that place, and I was going to preach and to tell them this and this and this. So, I mean, like, how do you search that? You go on the internet looking for places that have tops of trees cut off? I mean, you know, you can't, it doesn't make any difference. It just, what do you, yeah, there's no way to make it happen. It wasn't like he says, go to England and preach over here. You know, there was no definition to anything. And he actually didn't say I was going to go to that place and preach. He said, he showed me a sign, and then I saw myself preaching. And I heard what I was preaching. That's how I knew what I was going to say. So, I mean, I have this dream. Maybe a year goes by, and with Sister Annie deep in Mexico, we're driving down the road. I scream, stop the car. She's like, what? Stop, stop, just stop. Oh my God, stop. We stop, and here's this Catholic church in this town that has all the tops of the trees cut off of it, and they're all on there. It was exactly what I saw in my dream. I said, I got to take a picture. I got to take a picture. I got out. I took a picture, photographed this thing. I said, where are we going? They said, well, we're going just not too far from here. Just right at the edge of town, there's a church, and we're going to be preaching there. And I said, well, I know what I'm preaching. You said, did anything great happen? I have no earthly idea. I just know I fulfilled the dream. You see what I'm saying? I just did what God told me to do, and I just preached that night. It was a great service, and people were blessed and touched, but I mean, I can't say that there was lightning fell or smoke filled the room or, you know, wild dog run across or nothing. But it was by revelation. The Lord told me it was something that's in my heart. I can still remember it. I can still see the people's faces. I can still see all that. I don't know, but it was a revelation. It was something that came to me from heaven. I couldn't have dreamed it up. It's not a dream. A revelation from heaven is not something you just sit here and say, oh, one day I'm going to have a house and it's going to have a white picket fence and it's going to have a dog and like this. I mean, those are nice dreams, okay? And I'm not saying that God would not give you the desires of your heart, but you're cultivating the dream. I'm talking about a revelation that comes from heaven that, boom, hits you and you're like, wow. Never thought about that. The second way that you can walk in this and have this burning fire down in your bones and heart and you can understand it, know that you're righteous. The second way is over in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63, where Jesus says, let me read it to you. In John 6, 63, it says, It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profit nothing. The word that I speak to you are spirit and they're alive. Folks, you're holding in your hands right there the portal to heaven, your Bible. You're holding in your hands and have the ability to read that all of heaven opens up to you and can speak a word to you that you can't imagine. Years ago, I was sitting on was at my house, and actually it was when we still lived over here at the church parsonage, and I was distraught over some things. I was sick and tired and fed up, and sitting on the edge of my bed, and the phone rings, and I didn't want to talk to anybody. And I looked over, and it was Pastor Randy. I said, man, hate to not take his call. I picked up and said, hey, what's going on? I said, oh, what's going on? What are you doing today? And I said, ah. I said, man, just. So I'll be honest with you. I'm just totally sick and discouraged right now about everything. He started laughing. He said, well, then I know why I called you, because I got a scripture for you. He said, God spoke to me, told me to call you and give you this scripture. So he gives me the scripture, and I turn to it, and the first words on the scripture are, when you sit upon the edge of your bed and meditate, and I was just like, that's freaking me out, Lord. I mean, you actually literally saw me sitting here, got him to give me that, to see that right in there, and just hit me at this exact moment. Now, that scripture went on and said some other things. It went on and says, when you reel, to and fro and you're at your wits' ends, then I will rise up and I will come. And they that go down to the sea in ships and who do business on great waters will see the mighty works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. And that's the day that I got the inspiration to start the water hole. It was one of the most discouraging times of my life. See, the point is, that word came alive to me. It's there. I'll never forget it. That was, my gosh, I don't know how many years ago. A long time ago. If we live in this Christianized thinking that we're just kind of here and then we're just going to live out our life and we go to heaven and we die, we're missing it. Because God has this amazing life He wants us to live, this amazing things He wants us to walk in, this amazing opportunities He wants us to accomplish. But yeah, you got a devil out there that wants to steal that word from you, and he's going to do everything he can to pull it from you so that you will not believe and you will not walk in what God has for you. But if you understand his righteousness and that it's by the blood of Jesus that your sins have been washed away and that you have a right standing, you have a position, you have, I mean, Paul says that you saints, you guys right here, you guys that are saved, born again, know Jesus, that you're going to judge the world. You. What does that exactly mean? I don't know, but it's putting you in a pretty high position. I mean, you got the gavel in your hand. I've always thought I'd make a good judge. I'd kind of like to be the, you know, look at the guy and say, you picked the wrong day to get in trouble. But think about that. So how could I do that? I'm not equipped to do that. I haven't been, I don't know, how, what are we going to judge them for? What is it going to be? I don't really know. I mean, there's got to be, maybe there's prejudge training before you have to judge the world. I don't know. Maybe you get a, you know, a SIM card stuck in the back of your head and then you just know what's right. I don't know. I don't know how it works when you get to heaven. I just know it says that you are, that you will do that. That's a lot of responsibility. So what I'm saying is he thinks that much of you, but we don't think enough of ourselves to think that we're right with him. When all the time what we're doing is then denying the blood of Jesus has enough power to cleanse us. I've always said this. I'd rather get to heaven and get chastised by God that I believed him for too much than get to heaven and say, what is the matter with you? Why didn't you believe me? Why didn't you ask me for that? I said I'd give you anything you'd ask for. And you got to say, well, Lord, I just didn't think you were going to give me that one. Got 100% equity in you. You already bought and paid for. Now, what about? You know, I've said this that I just hate horror movies. I don't know why. As a little kid, you know, what was it at Project Terra? Is that what it was as a kid that came on late on Friday night? Yeah. My parents would go to supper club and we'd be at the house, and me and my sister would turn on Project Terra, and that's probably what totally destroyed me in life. Today, if somebody watched Project Terra, They would laugh at it. It would be like a comedy. It would be like watching the Three Stooges compared to what's on television today. Right? There's things that are on television right now that I tell you what, I spray the thing down with holy oil just to stay in the house after it's over with. Lord have mercy. But isn't it interesting to think about the stupidity of all the movies, all the things, of all the demon flying around and about to win and looks like God's going to lose and all that, and the people are just getting thrown and flung and stepped on and spit on and thrown up on and eat up and chewed up and whatever. Huh? That you could literally stand at the face of the biggest, nastiest, snarliest, fang-dripping, fire-breathing, from the pit of hell demon and say, "What are you talking about? I'm righteous. Get out of my way." And there's nothing he could do. I mean, the biggest, snarliest one Lucifer could throw up. You say, if you had a revelation of it, of being righteous before God, you could say, excuse me, I think you know something about the blood of Jesus. So it's all over me, so get out of my face. And they make it look like it's just, poor helpless people in the face of these demons. Y'all with me? There's such authority that comes when you understand that you're righteous with God. There's such authority that comes when you understand the blood of Jesus over our lives. It's authority to be able to just to walk and to say, man, feels good today to know that, there may be some people around the world that don't think much of me, but it doesn't really make any difference because God loves me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm righteous in your eyes. When I was a kid, I used to get upset, go outside. I had this old hound dog. His name was Caesar. And whenever I was real upset as a kid, I'd go outside and just pet Caesar. And I remember just looking him in the face. He's licking the tears off my eyes. And I'd say, because my mother wrongfully misjudged me about something. And I just, y'all can tell her about that one. And I just say to him, he says, "Nobody loves me but you, Caesar." I can remember that. But the truth is, nobody in the world may love you except God. And you're totally washed and clean, totally ability to just go right to him and talk to him. Folks, listen to me. In this day and age right now, it just seems like everybody, everything, it doesn't make any difference where you turn today. And I don't know if it's because I never paid any attention until now, but there are so many things in the world that'll kill you, it's unbelievable. I was laughing. I have never seen a commercial for shingles. But now there's like running ads. If you've got this and you had that, I said, you're going to give the whole world shingles if you don't shut up. The whole thing is just, you got everybody scratching around thinking, what do you think it's like? Right? It's just like, shut up. Just turn it off. If you go to the doctor and what he's going to give you after you look at the commercial, the medicine that he gave you has got, only 72,000 side effects. So you don't trust the doctor. You don't trust the medicine. You don't trust this. You don't trust that. I'm just saying the whole world has got everything out there. But listen to me. If you catch the revelation that you're right with God and that you're under the blood of Jesus and that he's got 100% equity in you and everything's okay and you don't have any problems, because you can go right to the throne and you can talk to Daddy about it and he'll give you a revelation of it and the devil's not going to steal the word out of it. And if you don't have, if you're floundering or floundering, that's what I'm looking for, floundering over here in an area, you can go to the Word, you can do what John 6:63 says, find it, dig it up, search it. You know that this world makes it so easy for us. You can go buy a Knave's topical Bible. And so whatever you're dealing with, you can just go in there and find it and just gives you all the scriptures for it. It's just so simple. You don't even have to look it up. Everybody needs to buy one of those. They're cheap. You know, there's a few things in life that I really don't understand why things cost so much. And there's other things in the life that I just think are just cheap. Just buy a bunch of it. That's just me. Okay? What does a 9-pack of toilet paper cost? Give me an idea here. Just throw out a number. How much? $7 or $8 for 9 rolls of toilet paper. You know how much toilet paper's in there for $7? You go over and you buy some little eye drops. Right? A little bitty old bottle of stuff. You just barely even get a napkin wet. They won't charge you, you know, $12 or $15 for that. But you could, man, I mean, I'm a big buyer of toilet paper. Buy another one. I like that. $7 or $8. Look how big it is. Bulky, carry around, big roll. Throw it if you want to, man. My God. Do anything with this stuff. Okay, so I'm totally lost my train of thought. I just got so excited about that $7 for a roll. Where's I going with this? The Bible, the name, thank you. A Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is like $9. It's got every word that's in the Bible. I'm like, man, buy 3 or 4 of them. Use them for sit on, for grandkids, for high chairs. I mean, they're so cheap. There's no sense that everybody in the world doesn't have one in their house, right? It's got every word that is in the Bible in it. That's what I'm saying. There's things and resources to help us to grab hold of the word that it's just right there at our disposal if we'll pursue it. Hello? Doesn't it feel good to know you're righteous? This is a man, whoo, ain't nothing between me and God. Glory to God. It's God bumps. Amen. Sweetie, can you come play that song again? I know the band's gone home, but you're still here. Oh, faithful and true. That song just gave me God bumps. And let's just worship. Let's just spend a moment here. And let what I said just soak down into you and let it be the Holy Ghost.
What a sacrifice
Lord, we just thank you for the sacrifice. The sacrifice of your blood over our lives. That gave us victory. Lord, that gave us victory. That we don't have to walk with our heads held down. Lord, we don't have to walk in guilt and shame. But we can walk before you, righteous and holy. Now, Lord, I just pray over everyone here that tonight this revelation just sinks down on the inside of them. Sinks down so deep inside of us, Lord, that we dream about it. Lord, we have visions of it. We have a revelation of it that gets sown into our heart in such a way, Lord God, will never be the same. Sown down into our hearts, can't be stolen from. Devil, you'll not steal this word from this people tonight. I declare those that hear it over the audio, Lord, it'll change their life. It'll set them free. They'll never be the same. They'll never be the same. Lord, I praise you for it. I praise you for it, Lord. I praise you for it, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. You're so amazing. Praise you, Jesus. Whew. Amen. Good stuff, man. What a sweet presence. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Glory, you got a revelation tonight? Yes, ma'am. Hundred percent. You're the equity of God. That's a good one, Bonnie. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was saying. You don't want to go over it because you're really just feeding the fuel of doubt and unbelief while you're trying to pray. Yeah. Yeah, one time I asked Sister Annie, I was talking to her and I said, yeah, I just need somebody to follow me around all day long and talk to me and tell me, you know, to talk right or do whatever. And she says, yeah, I think it's called the Holy Spirit. That's like, yeah, that's right. That is what he says to do. Follow me around all the time. Keep me out of trouble. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Yeah. Well, Gloria, y'all don't forget to pray for me Friday. Pray for me Friday evening. Probably be about 6 or 6:30, 7, something like that, till who knows when. And then Saturday morning, we'll be back probably at 8 or 9, something like that. Because I'm going to turn around and drive back to be here for Sunday. So anyway, y'all shoot me up some extra prayers. Amen? Yeah. Well, let's take up our offering. Anybody need an offering envelope? Anything? Sunday. Dinner on the grounds again, right? It's fried pie afternoon. You know, people they know exactly what they're doing. I went into a store the other day, and they had the coffee pot, and right beside the coffee pot were the fried pies. You know, all just sitting there, and I was just like, There was a coconut one there. I was like, oh God, I've got to have it. No, stop! Is this war going on? No, goodbye, cut it up. You'll be happy to know I did not bought my coffee and left. It was a battle. It was a huge battle. There was a demon sitting there. Come and eat me. Cookies tonight. Let's go get them. Well, put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just declare in the name of Jesus, I thank you for finances. I thank you, Lord, that we are going to win this world. That the water hole is going to stretch all over the world. It's going to touch people's lives. It's going to change people's lives. And I don't care what you say, devil. I just know what the word says. And so I just declare tonight that people are, that we are blessing our businesses, we're blessing everything that we do, Lord, where the finances increase, we go over the top, we're the head, not the tail, we're above and not beneath. When everybody else can't make it, we can. I just declare it, Lord. I just declare it's what your word says. And so, Lord, we give you praise for it, and we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So this is the fourth Sunday, right? Labor Day's next weekend, not this coming Sunday, not this weekend, but the next one. When's bird season start? That day? So that weekend?